Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast, and a very Merry Christmas, a blessed Christmas to you and to your family. As I'm recording this, the third day of Christmas, Friday, December 27th. And so I want to just encourage you to continue your Christmas celebrations through all 12 days of Christmas. It's worth celebrating for 12 full days, at least, that God became human, that God came to earth and lived, died, and rose again for us. That's worth celebrating every day of the year. So I encourage you to continue those celebrations. Today on my mind might be kind of a strange topic, maybe not. We'll see how it appears to you. But two things going on bring to mind the death penalty at this time of year. One, if you listen to the news, is President Biden commuting the death sentences of all but three who were facing the federal death sentence. And another thing that brings this to mind at this time of year is what we find happening in the Christmas story. Well, not exactly the Christmas story. It happens a little bit later. We don't know exactly when it happens, but it's associated with the Christmas story. And that is the visit of the wise men to the Magi to see the child, Jesus. They came to the house where he was and saw the child, Jesus. So it wasn't an infant. It wasn't the first night when he was born like the shepherds. They didn't get there at the same time as the shepherds. But the wise men came to see the child Jesus, and who was part of sending them on their way was a guy named King Herod, who was just a crazy king, extremely jealous for his power and his position, murdered a number of people. Anybody he thought was in his way, he would murder. And so the deaths of the innocents in Bethlehem, as it's called, brings to mind also the death penalty, as those little infants received the death penalty from King Herod. So let's first take a look at the scripture, because we don't often read that part of the Christmas story, so-called, because it's not really a happy part of the story. Let's take a look in case you forget what happened there. When the wise men had gone, when the Magi had gone, and did not go back to see King Herod and tell King Herod how to find Jesus, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." So that is the just the horror that impinges on the beautiful Christmas story. And yet Jesus came for that very reason, because our world is filled with horrible things. And so Jesus came for that reason. It turns out that God carries out, if you will, the death penalty against King Herod. And King Herod is not able to kill God, but God carries out the death penalty against King Herod here. And Herod dies very shortly after this event in history. Now, let's talk about then, this kind of gets me thinking about death, and death kind of comes in and creeps into the Christmas story, but death also creeps in, as we said at the beginning, to the news today, as President Biden has commuted the death sentences of, I think it's 37, those who are facing the death penalty under federal law, and allowed three death sentences to continue on. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, the death penalty, is it something that Christians should be against? Is it something that Christians should be for? What does the Bible say about it? How do we think about the death penalty in a biblical way? Well, of course, there's the commandment. As Lutherans number the commandment, thou shalt not kill, which is actually a bad translation. We go over that in our series on the commandments. If you want to check that out on YouTube, you just go to Eagles on the Hill, search for Eagles on the Hill on YouTube, go to the playlist, go to the commandment playlist, and check out what I have to say there about the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Actually, it should be translated, thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between killing and murder. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. All right. So, for instance, we just read that account of Herod killing all the baby boys in Bethlehem. That's maybe a bad translation because Herod didn't just kill them. Yes, he did, but he murdered them. And so there's a difference there. And I think you can figure out the difference. If not, go check out that that video, which will give more insight into that commandment. All right, so what does the Bible say about the death penalty? Does that commandment mean that we Christians should be against the death penalty? Well, actually, that's not the case. We go over that in that video, so I won't kind of go into that in great detail here, except to say that in Romans chapter 13, so this is New Testament. A lot of people say, oh, the death penalty is only in the Old Testament. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the New Testament, God says that he institutes government, and the role of government is to not bear the sword in vain, or not bear the sword for nothing, but to punish the wrongdoer. Now, when you punish the wrongdoer with a paddle, you spank them. When you punish the wrongdoer with a sword, you're not spanking them. You're carrying out the death penalty against them. And so there in the New Testament, Paul talks about God, institution of government, and the government bears the sword. So this is not vigilante justice. This is the government. Paul says that God has given the government the sword. And when you use the sword to carry out punishment, people die on the other end of it. And so clearly the death penalty there is spoken about in the New Testament. But the death penalty is also spoken about many, many times in the Old Testament. And that's simply indisputable. So many different crimes were given the death penalty by God in the Old Testament. Now, this is Old Testament Israel. It's the nation of Israel, so it doesn't necessarily apply to us. We don't have to apply the death penalty in these cases. But if you look in the Old Testament, God instituted the death penalty for homicide, not negligent homicide, but actual homicide. When you strike or attack your parents, the death penalty for kidnapping, for cursing one's parents, for witchcraft and divination, for bestiality, for worshiping other gods, violating the Sabbath, for child sacrifice, for adultery, for incest, for male homosexual intercourse. Interesting, there's no biblical legal punishment for lesbians, but that's beside the point really for now. The point is, and then there's others, there's plenty of others. The point is that God instituted the death penalty for many, many different crimes in the Old Testament. Okay, so just so we're clear on that, God does give the death penalty in the Old Testament. So let's take a look at this. Number one, I would say this about the death penalty. You cannot use the Bible to argue against the death penalty. Whether in the Old Testament, clearly God gives the death penalty to the government of the nation of Israel. New Testament, Romans chapter 13, clearly the death penalty is there. Paul talks about it. God gave the government the sword. The government does not bear the sword for nothing. Some people try to use what happens in John chapter 8 to argue against the death penalty. And I would say that you cannot use what happens in John chapter 8 to argue against the death penalty for two reasons. Number one, we're not entirely, I don't want to totally blow your mind here, but we're not entirely sure that the account in John chapter 8, and the account I'm referring to is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, bring a woman caught in adultery and throw her at Jesus' feet and demand to know whether Jesus will carry out the death penalty against this woman. And if you remember that scene in John chapter 8, Jesus bends down, starts writing on the ground, and then says, the one who is without sin can cast the first stone. And the people, the religious leaders all wander away, and finally there's no one left to condemn her, and Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. And Jesus, who is the only one who could condemn her, according to his words, does not condemn her, and she is free to go and leave her life of sin, Jesus says. That's John chapter 8. We're not 100% sure that that event is part of the original writings of John as he wrote his gospel. It's possible that that is added later on. Now, it certainly squares up with what we know of Jesus. I tend to think it probably happened, although John might have not included it in his gospel right there. But there you go. So that's one reason why you can't just use that passage and say, there you go, the death penalty's out in the New Testament. And the other reason is we don't know all of the circumstances of that case. All we know is what we read about in those few verses in the Gospel of John chapter 8, right there at the beginning of the chapter. So that's in that circumstance, Jesus does not carry out the death penalty against that woman. We don't know all the other surrounding circumstances there to be able to say, well, in every case, then Jesus is against the death penalty. Okay, so that's the two reasons we can't use that passage, and you'll hear some use it, but you can't for those two reasons. So, we Christians cannot use the Bible to argue against the death penalty. There are, however, I believe, other legitimate reasons to argue against the death penalty. What might those reasons be? Well, I'll just give one. And that is the practicality of the death penalty. The death penalty is, I think most would agree, is not carried out in a way that is consistent throughout our country, or even throughout within a state. And so, if you are of a certain skin color, you face a higher chance of being convicted and given the death penalty. If you are of a certain socioeconomic class, you face a higher probability of receiving the death penalty than if you are of a different socioeconomic class. I think you know what I mean. And so, people can argue, well, because we do not carry out the death penalty consistently, we should then not have the death penalty because we are really, we're not being consistent in the way we do it. Is that a legitimate reason to argue against the death penalty? I think it's certainly more a legitimate reason than to say, well, the Bible or Jesus in John chapter 8 doesn't have the death penalty. That's certainly a better reason than using the Bible to argue against the death penalty. However, I would say for us as Christians, and this is just, I'm going here now, I'm giving you my sense as a person who I think has wisdom in this area. When I ask the question, why does God not only permit but command the death penalty? I think God not only permits but commands the death penalty in the Old Testament and is reinforced by Paul in the New Testament because the death penalty is in some cases the only way to appropriately value the life of the victim. So, when a person, we got to put some names to these so we're not just kind of going in circles here, but let's say that John murders Sue. And if there's a John and Sue in your life and that happened, I'm not referring to them, just generic names to be able to make the argument easier. But if John murders Sue, what is Sue's life worth? Is Sue's life worth 5 years in prison? Is Sue's life worth 20 years in prison? And then John gets out, and then what value has Sue's life at that point? So some would argue, and I am one of these some, would argue that the only way to appropriately value Sue's life is to take the life of John, not as a vigilante, but for the government, as instituted by God, to not bear the sword in vain, as Paul talks about in Romans 13. That is the way we value the life of the victim, in this case, the hypothetical Sue. I don't know that other forms of punishment value the life of the victim appropriately. Now, of course, there's caveats. We need to be not 99.9% sure, in my opinion. We can't be 99.9% sure that John was the murderer to carry out the death sentence. I would believe that we would need to be 100%, or as they say, 110% sure that John was the one who committed the murder before we would carry out the death penalty. That would be my sense of that, just to clarify that. So if we're 99.9% sure, I think I would say we don't carry out the death penalty because we're not 100% sure. And clearly in our history, there has been times when the death penalty has been carried out or people have been on death row and have been exonerated. So we need to be careful with that. So to go to President Biden and what he just did in commuting those death sentences, he tried to, I don't know what he was trying to do, actually. I'll say it looks to me like he was trying to walk a middle ground. In that, he commuted all those death sentences to say, I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't believe we should have that in the United States. And I'm going to do what I can to stop any future administrations from carrying it out. However, he still allowed three people to remain on death row. Well, if you don't believe in the death penalty, then you don't believe in the death penalty. Why are three people still sitting on death row in the United States in federal prisons? But if you do believe in the death penalty, look at the horrific cases where the death penalty was just commuted to life in prison. So what is going on there? Either you believe in the death penalty, in which case there should probably be a lot more death penalties in the United States. And if they were carried out in a more, in a quicker fashion, it might indeed provide a deterrent. There should be more death penalties in the United States. Or if you don't believe in the death penalty, then you should commute all of them. But instead, President Biden commuted many of them, most of them, but not all of them. And so what's going on there? Well, in the cases of a terrorist or in the cases of hate crimes or whatever, then we don't, does that come in? I don't get it. So my sense would be, if you are against the death penalty, you should be very upset with President Biden that he allowed three people to remain on death row. And if you do believe in the death penalty, you should be very upset with President Biden for commuting those death sentences. Well, there you have it. That's my sense of that. I think by doing what he did, frankly, he probably has most of the country upset with him. But I don't know. I guess you only have a few more days in office. That's what you do. I don't know. Read the news. You'll find people upset with him on both sides of the aisle because of what he did. What's your belief on that? And then hold firm to your belief, no matter what the consequences might be. Well, that's my sense of it. As we think about the horrors of the horrible part of the Christmas story with King Herod and those baby boys in Bethlehem, and as we think about the death sentence as it's carried out today in the United States, and specifically President Biden's action here within the last week or so. Hope this podcast has been insightful for you. Hope it's a blessing to you. Encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what your thoughts are with regard to the death penalty or what happened at the Christmas account when King Herod sent out to kill those boys in Bethlehem. Or let us know other topics that you'd like us to talk about on the podcast. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And again, a blessed Christmas as you continue to celebrate the birth of our Savior.